It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, let's dive into this lesson. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. I've entitled this lesson, The Love-Hate Test. And this is basically the fourth test that we were looking at as we've been going through the test of a true and false convert. And so I'm going to start out by reading these verses to us so that we can see what John is trying to tell us here. Okay, 1 John, starting in chapter 2, and we are going to start in verse 7. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his namesake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. All right, so that's a lot of verses, but what I have done here is lumped all this together because there is a lot of repetition going on here. We have all of this talk about the commandment, the new and the old, and I've written this to you, the light, the darkness, and then we go on down into little children, father, young men, and we have that repeated over and over and over. So we have these different phrases in a lot of repetition in seven verses. And so it just felt appropriate to kind of lump all this together because in a sense it goes together. That second portion, verses 12 through 14, I'll get into that and kind of explain what that repetition is about. But let's start out here. We have just talked about walking in the light. That's what we've come off of in our other lesson. And that is basically the truth. Walking in the light is walking in truth, in which Jesus Christ himself is truth. So now we begin to see that to walk in the light is to walk in love. Being a believer means loving like Christ loves. What does love look like in the life of a true convert? So practically speaking, as you apply that to your life, what does it look like to love one another as Christ loved? And, you know, that can take on different forms. It can be just fellowship with the brethren. It can be having someone over to your house for a meal and a game afterwards. Or it can be studying Bible fellowship together, going to a funeral, making a meal for someone who's had a baby. All of these things are loving one another in the brethren of Christ. And so we want to remember that to deny ourselves and to serve someone else is the highest act of loving one another we can do. And so practically speaking, when we say love one another, that is a positive element of love. But there's also a negative element of love. I don't think it's negative, but a lot of people would see it that way. Let me break that down for you. Whenever someone speaks the truth in love, well, that's what they're doing. They're doing it out of love, but that can be received as being offensive or combative. And I know many of you have dealt with that. Even on our Google Plus community page for Naomi's Table, there are many women that deal with that concept of wanting to lovingly speak the truth to family members that might be walking in darkness or maybe listening to a false teacher or false teaching. And they want to lovingly rebuke them and win them back to Christ. And so that's the right motive. That is what your goal is to win them over to the truth. And so that's the most loving thing we can do is to go and rescue our brother and sister who may have fallen into a trap of deception and help pull them out of that. And so, you know, if you do that, do it with a confident, loving rebuke, but with doing it by speaking the truth in love. Because the concept is you don't want to offend them and get them upset. That's not your intention. It very well may happen. And a lot of times it does, because people don't like being corrected. But if your motive is to win your brother or sister over to the truth, that will play itself out. And that will be a true test of a true convert, is if you are loving one another in both of these aspects, both positive and negative. And I like what Phil Johnson says whenever he says, love without truth is hypocrisy and is sinful and it has no character. So keep that in mind. You know, it's great to bake a meal for someone, but it's even more loving to go to someone who may be sitting in a church that is rampant with false teaching and to lovingly show them the truth from the text. And you know what? That's exactly what John's doing here for us. That's why he wrote this book. Keep that in mind, because there was false teaching that was rampant. Gnosticism was heavy at this time. And so he wrote this book to encourage the believers and to warn them to examine themselves and to look at these different aspects in 1 John that prove that they are true Christians, and to warn them about the dangers of the false teaching that was rampant. So let's take the example of John and do what he does and speak that truth in love. So as we go through here, I want to just kind of touch on these new commands, old commands, that repetitious phrasing that we have going on there. And what this is telling us is, yes, it was a new command in a sense to love one another, because we had never seen Jesus until the New Testament. And so we had a practical way of seeing how love is played out in the life of a believer. And who better to learn from than Jesus of how to love and how to show love. And so it's an old command because it is commanded in the Old Testament. So that's what's going on there when John is doing that all repetitious phrasing of this old commandment, this new commandment from the beginning, you have heard, you know, etc. So that kind of takes care of that first repetitious phrasing that we were hearing. Now as we dive on into verses 12 through 14, we begin to see that there's more repetition that starts to go on there. And he starts telling us, it says, you hear the words little children, then you start hearing young men and fathers, and you start hearing those phrases quite a bit. Let me just mention this, and I found this very interesting when I was studying this. Whenever you see that phrase there of little children, it's different than in verse 12, whenever it says little children, that is a different Greek word from the use of the word children in verse 13. And so in verse 12, it's just referring to all of God's children, no matter the age. But in verse 13, it's in regards to like a baby Christian. So keep that in mind kind of as we go a little bit forward here in this thinking. Someone who's a believer, but they're just not maybe very mature in their faith, but they still believe the word, that would be that second use of little children. So these are people who I would refer to them as new babes in Christ. They are true sound believers, but they just have a ways to go in their learning. Then when we look at that phrase of young men, those would be kind of your seasoned Christians. They have been in the Word for, you know, a while. They've been believers for a while. They have good, sound doctrine and theology, but they too still, you know, have a little bit to go. They would be, you know, kind of in that median range. Then when we hear the word fathers, that's referring to deep, theologically strong Christians. These are folks who have been in the Word. They have been Christians for a very long time. They know theological concepts and doctrines frontwards and back. They are true students of the Word. And, you know, you might think of, when I think of that, I think of men such as Martin Lloyd-Jones or Charles Spurgeon and some of these guys who ran the race well, you know, but for men that are still living, you know, we've got pastors like Steve Lawson, John MacArthur, Paul Washer, R.C. Sproul. We have lots of good men like that. And I would think of them as fathers, you know, in this text of being very skilled, learned men. So that's kind of what's going on there. And I love how John addresses all the stages of the Christian life. I know that we can all look at those different examples and see ourselves in them or hope to be in that next category in our lives. But I love how he takes the time to address that, you know, and even though it is a little repetitious there, it's great because it's a reminder that, you know, all these folks are in the faith, but we're all at different stages in our walk. We're all at different levels of sanctification. So I really like how he ties that concept there together in that repetitious state. And so we're all going to fall into one of those categories at one time or another. So essentially, this book is for you. this book and this subject matter and all these tests, they apply to every believer at any stage of the game. So, you know, if you're young in Christ, a new babe in Christ, these tests still apply to you. You can still look at them, even though you may be very young in your faith, you can still look at them and say, you know what? If I'm not doing so great in one of these areas, I can strive for better. I didn't know that this was an area that constituted what a true Christian is, and I'm going to work on that. And if you've been a longtime believer, you can look at this and say, you know what? Maybe I need to examine myself a little bit more, you know? So it's a good gauge to see where you're at, and I love how he put that in here. So again, just to kind of recap everything, this is the love-hate test. So we need to be loving, but we cannot hate any brother. We cannot have hate in our hearts. There is no room for that in the life of a Christian. So stop and think about that today. That's my question for you. You know, are you exemplifying that of a Christian, of that Christian love, and not harboring any hate in your heart? And I ask if you are today that you would stop and repent and give that over to God and ask him to show you how to forgive that person that you've maybe been harboring some ill will in your heart against. And so again, this is the love-hate test, and you can find this lesson under naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab, Lesson 8, the love-hate test.